He is our living hope. Amen. Isn't that right, church? That's why we gather here. He's a living hope. I mean, he died, rose up from the grave, ascended to heaven. He's coming back again. And guys, listen, cheer up tonight. You know, I've heard, and I agree with you, it's not the same this year. And thank God it's not the same this year. Palm Sunday is not like it was last year. Well, thank God it's not. Next week is Resurrection Sunday. It's not the same. Well, thank God it's not. Thank God that we have got a time set aside now to actually look at what Christ did on the cross for us and why he did it and why he died, why he rose up, and why he's coming back again, guys. Come on. You know, put a smile on your face. Remember, God loves you, that he died to rescue us. And we have to get over this point of, well, I won't be able to hunt no eggs this year. You know, I won't have this gathering. Man, we got to focus back on why we gather in the first place. You know, and seriously, God forgive us all these years that we thought about ourselves. It was a good Easter if everyone gathered and we had ham. And I never figured that out. This is a time of Jewish celebration, we could say it that way, and we have ham. And they don't eat pork, okay? But guys, let it be a time of refreshing ourselves. We have brothers and sisters around the world tonight, hidden in caves and underground, worshiping God because they can't come out in the streets and be put to death. Oh, how would they have? Love to have what we have. Well, you got to stay in your house there for a couple of weeks. And worship God in the house. Be at the hype for anybody. Oh man, I just pray that this is a time that of refreshing for the church and really understand, guys, that we're not going to hell for our sins because of what Christ did on the cross. I mean, think of that. We deserve hell. Rebellious against God. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that those who believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. And folks, verse 17 of chapter 3 says this. Christ did not come in the world to condemn the world, but to save us. Think of that. That's important. I want you to remember that every time you open up the scriptures or you read the scriptures, those words are given to us. Given to us to help us. Given to us out of love. We got to recognize that. We got to quit picking and choosing in the Word of God what we want to believe, what we don't want to believe, what we're going to follow or not going to follow. Because I'm telling you what, it's the whole package. It's everything inside that Word of God that's good for us. We got to recognize that. And I think that's what God, through this time, is trying to wake people up. Say, man, let's wake up. Let's get up from our slumber. You know, we talked about that last week, you know. We've fallen asleep. Everything was really based around us. To a degree, and not God. We thought it was God. But really, I mean, how many of you, when it comes to Resurrection Sunday, say, okay, we'll go to church here, then we got to go to here, we got to go to here, we got to here. And it actually brought so much pressure on you that, boy, I hate these holidays. I hear that when they celebrate the birth of Jesus, or when they recognize it in December. You know, and we have to get away from it. We need to say, prioritize things that, man, I am a follower of Jesus. And this is a time of year that, you know, we recognize his death every day as a Christian. But this is a time to set aside for the world to look at it. You know? And a lot of the comments right now, wow, look at the industries. You know how much candy is not going to be sold this year because of, well, we're not going to gather in our homes like we used to. The egg market would be down. All these things. And folks, what do we need? What more do we need to celebrate this time of year than the blood bought that Jesus gave us for our sins? We recognize that. Oh, man, let that uplift you to celebrate him. You know, in the church today is called Palm Sunday. And we have palms here. You know? And a lot of times we'll gather here and when the worship team, the singing man, we'll wave them back and forth and just celebrating Christ when he come into Jerusalem. You know, in the Bible, and you'll find this in a couple of places, I'm going to refer to John 12 today, verse 12 to 19. And again, I'll be mentioning about in Luke, the 20th verse of Luke there. I'll give you a chapter here in a minute. But I want you to picture this for a second. We set it up and say, again, John 12, from 12 to 19, where you find what I'm sharing with you right now. Imagine this. This is what's taking place. Jesus, just a few days earlier, raised Lazarus from the grave. Now, how awesome is that? Boy, Lazarus died, he was buried, been in the grave 4 days. Here comes the Messiah. Here comes Jesus. And everybody saying, hey, man, I wish you were here earlier. And this is paraphrasing. You know. Hey, man, I wish you were here earlier. Your friend died. And Jesus said, hey, it's okay. Let's take me to him. They said, man, you don't want to go to him because he's going to stink now. He's been in the grave 4 days. And Jesus, what did he say? He said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came out of the grave alive. You know, that was astonishment. Wow. Wow. He's back alive. So, man, they unwrap him from the barrel cloths, man, and they take off. And it's about a few days later we're going to find Jesus getting ready to come in to Jerusalem. And people are excited. Why are they excited? You might ask. I'm glad you did. Well, right now, you got Rome in charge of Jerusalem. They're under Roman rule. And people are getting tired of that. Okay? We have excitement because this dude called Jesus has brought Lazarus back to life. Man, that's got excitement. And so he is coming toward Jerusalem. And people say, yes, praise Jesus. And they got their palms, and because that's what they used back then, you know, in order to celebrate and show victory and stuff, you know. And they're waving, they're putting on the ground and stuff. And Jesus is walking toward Jerusalem. And one part of the scripture says, it says, as Jesus approached Jerusalem, he saw the city, and he wept over it. He wept over it. Now imagine this. If you go back to Isaiah and a lot of scriptures before this time, they spoke about the Messiah coming. They talked about the Messiah is going to be crucified. They talked about all these things that was going to happen to him. And Christ at this point is trying to let his followers know, hey, listen, I come to die for your sins. I'm going to lay my life down. Can you imagine telling your friends, hey, listen, you know, we're going to go to town tonight and I'm going to lay my life down for you. All right, yeah, let's go. Let's go to town, man. And you get closer to town and they're plotting, yeah, watch out. Here comes Starkey. You don't understand what I'm saying? I'm going to town and I'm going to lay my life down for you tonight. You think somewhere along there would be someone saying, hey, wait. Let's not go down there, okay? But no, see, they weren't listening what Jesus was saying. Not all of them was. They were hearing what they wanted to hear. And some were celebrating, again, because Jesus brought Lazarus back to life. And some of them following down the road, I imagine, saying, what was going on? Oh, man, this dude brought this guy back to life. Oh, very wild. And the excitement started. Had no idea who the Messiah was going to be. Had no idea what Jesus was going to do. They get closer to Jerusalem. Then you have some of the disciples. You got Peter and some of the zealots. They belong to like a political party that they wanted to overthrow the government. Man, so everybody was excited, celebrating Christ coming in for different reasons. You know, we can do that today. We can celebrate that Christ comes into your life, but have it for the different reasons than truly what he come for. Can we look at the end of Jerusalem? When we look over here in the scriptures, in verse 45 of Luke, I don't have the chapter marked down here, but it says, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, then he went to the temple and began to drive out those who were selling things in the temple, saying, it is written, and my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a robber's den. Wow! He went to the temple. Now, the temple is where he went to meet with God. Understand that. Okay? And here comes Christ into it saying, hey, listen, this place here, get out. And he started turning the tables over and the money exchangers and stuff. Man, I'm going to clean this house out. I came in here to establish this place for my father. And they get upset with him. Now, he could have came in Jerusalem, been quiet, walked past the temple, left it the way it was, and enjoy his fan club, you know. People hang out with him, and now they'd be taking selfies with him, you know, and be on Facebook and stuff like that. He could have, but no. He came in here into this world, into Jerusalem, yes, to lay his life down, to pay the penalty for our sins, and reestablish connection with mankind, with God. But how upset they were. He started turning things over in the temple. So, I ask you this. Those of us who called upon the name of the Lord, those of us who invited Christ into your life, boy, you come in, and look at the excitement we had. Yeah! Oh, man, my name's written in Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, my sins are forgiven. Man, so you just entered in. But then, if we're born again, he said, I'll send you another. He does the Comforter. He sends us one to give this understanding. And to me, it's like Christ comes into your life and he starts going through us now because we are the temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit starts going through us every room that we have in our temple, in our mind, our way of life, our way of thinking, the way we used to do and this kind of stuff. And he starts saying, okay, we need to get this out of the temple. Wait a second. I don't think I want to do that. We need to get this out of your life now, okay? Well, it's kind of like this. Ladies, you get married, and you establish your home for your husband, and one day here comes your husband's mother come to visit. First time she's in your new home. And she starts walking through the house. You know, you are now taking care of her son. So she walks through and kind of looks at things, and you think those curtains really match those drapes or match the couch? And she might go to the kitchen and say, well, my son really liked his eggs differently than that. Or next thing you know, she'd go into another room and say, well, I think it should be different. I think this should be done. And as you go through, you get kind of upset. Say, listen now, this is my house. Your son is my husband. I'll do things my own way. I don't need your advice. Hey, there's some amens out there, okay? Of course, my wife isn't saying amen. My mother, her mother-in-law was, you know, never did that. So, but we get this idea, hey, quit picking on me. I've established my home. Leave it alone. Well, see, we can take that same mindset and transfer it over with the walk of Jesus. When we surrender our life to Christ, we invite him into our life. Man, yes, he's in here. Yes, thank you. My sins are forgiven. He does come in. But you know what? He will not stay in the presence of sin. Think of that. He doesn't. No. Cherish sin. No. So he'll come through. And he'll say, well, listen, it is written. This is sin. Oh, your thought life. We need to change that. But your language, let's change it. Now, he does this because he loves us. Amen? He does it because you invited him into your life. Okay, I'm gonna live in your life. I live in the whole part of the temple, and he goes through. And sometimes we get the same attitude. Say, listen, I said that prayer. I went down there. I bent my knee. Okay, and I claimed Jesus as my Savior, Lord. But man, leave that alone. Why are you getting on me about this, Jesus? Or maybe even a pastor will say, hey, listen, guys, you know. That's sin. I'm going to show you what the scriptures say. Man, you know, lying is a sin. You got to quit lying. You know, seek the Lord. Surrender that to him. Say, God, help me with my lying tongue. You know, I want to change that. He will. Oh, next thing, stealing. Stealing is a sin. You say, well, I've never robbed the bank. Okay. But you ever mark down time on your timesheet? That you didn't really work? Or did an employer pay you to do a job and you stopped where you're supposed to do it? See, just things like that. He'll come in and say, let's adjust this now. Let's change this. And that's why he'll continue to do this. See, we're under grace. We're under grace. As he shapes us, we're under grace, man. That's an awesome thing. And what he wants us to remember, when we invited him into our life, he's coming. But man, he wants us to surrender everything to him. And sometimes we kind of forget that part of it, you know. And God tonight is saying, listen, I'm waking my church back up. I'm waking up my people. I know you've been influenced by the world, but it's time to get the world out and let me have more access. And look at my word and live on my word. And let my word be a guiding light to you. Not the world, but my word. And through that, God will do some amazing things in our lives. And not just for us, but through us for the world. You know, as Christ went to the cross, as he went, and remember, when he went through Calvary, when he went and all the taunts and all the insults and the beating and all the stuff he went through, he did that for you and me. That was love that took Jesus to the cross. Think of that. When we recognize that, when we were truly get alone by ourselves, and you know, thank God the last few weeks you got plenty of time to get alone, don't you? And search your life and your heart. Say, God, do I truly love you like I should? Have I had other gods before you? Have other things in my life have been more important than you? And really, I believe every one of us could probably say, well, there's been a lot of competition going on there. But see, at this time, I think it's truly a blessing to us because God has helped remove some of the things that has been occupying us, that has snuck in there, that we prioritize, and we took our time away from God. You know? He doesn't condemn us for relaxation. He doesn't condemn us for enjoyment. But when that gets in conflict or interferes with God has called us to be, and he's called us to be through his hands, his feet, his voice. In a time like this, people need it like never before. And they need the truth. Not a watered-down gospel. They need the truth that God truly loves us. But sin definitely separates us from God. It does. And I know we're living in a different age. I know we're living now where so many things are... Sin is running so rampant. And we have put our approval on that. A lot of our, if I can say, heroes of some of the last generations, even maybe your generation today, the heroes that we have are ungodly. They don't line up with the Word of God. We are looking and trying to, we buy stuff to wear because we want to be cool, but it really represents someone who's in conflict with God. You know, sometimes they don't even know it. We allow things of this world to interfere with what God wants with us. He wants time with us. He wants to talk with us. He wants to hold us. He wants to encourage us. But he is God. And when he said from the beginning, I'll have no other God before me, he means it. Out of love, don't do this. Out of love, he tells us what sin is. Out of love, he gave his life. His son died to redeem us from our sins. Out of love, he said, listen, I'll come in. I'll come into your life. I'll come exist in your body. And I will help you. I will help you. I will strengthen you to resist the things of this world because Satan, as we know in John 10, Satan comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. It hasn't changed. He used different techniques. He used more fancy people, more celebrities, more athletes, movie stars. Even sometimes they'll use preachers in order to get that done. But Christ has given us the Spirit of the truth. God has sent that to us to live in us. And he says in John 10:10, the second part, but I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Oh, wow. Man, it's awesome that he come and give us life and give it more abundantly. As we go through these days, and we're still seeking God's face, and I know you always say, hey, we'll get through this, and well, okay, we will get through, but I don't want to just get through it. I want to serve God through each day. I want to give God victory after victory after victory. And the first victory I want to give God is myself. And each one of us, myself included, every day, God, search my heart. What is in my heart that's not pleasing to you? Come on, help me get it out. And he will. And sometimes we say, well, God, just walk through my house and get rid of everything you don't want. God says, no, you're in the house. You take that stuff and you throw it out here to me. You give it to me, and we'll take it away together. Because the scripture will show you what has come into our life that's really damaging to us, that's really come to kill our joy and our peace that God's offered to us. But to understand truly what it means to repent from our sins and follow Him. You know, many times in my life, I can't say I repented, but I've been sorry many times in my life. And normally I'm sorry because I got caught. I heard no amens on that one, so I guess I won't. But seriously, you know, when we look at ourselves and we go to God and say, oh man, God, I'm sorry. Okay. But He doesn't want us to be sorry. He wants us to be repentive. And that is completely turning away from that sin. And He gives us the strength to do that. And I shared this before here at SCA, and I'll share it again. This was a few years ago. I had a conversation with a person, and I was right, of course. I'm never wrong, asked my wife. But during the conversation, we disagreed on it, and I ended up turning and walking out, but under my breath, I called him a name. And it's not a bad name. I just called him a name. I got back over here to the church. And boy, man, the Holy Spirit, thank God for the Holy Spirit. He convicted me so quickly. I said, Lord, you're right. Forgive me. God, I shouldn't have got upset like that. And God told me, okay, are you really? I said, yes, I am. He said, okay. You go back over and apologize for calling that person that name. I said, God, he never heard me. I mean, God, it was under my breath. I turned and walked away. He never heard me. Starkey? Yes, Lord. So I went back over. It's all about humbling yourself. And I actually told this person, I said, listen, I still don't agree, but I was wrong. I called you and I told him the name that I called him. And I said, I apologize for that. I should have never called you that. And the person just grinned, kind of like, well, that's kind of strange. I would actually admit that. But forgave me. And when I did that, I had a peace. Not just because the person forgave me, but I had a peace because I knew I truly was repentant in my heart and it pleased my God. So that takes us to this last scripture for tonight. Maybe the last scripture. But we were sharing here last couple of weeks ago, and heard this a lot here lately, on the 2 Chronicles 7:14. And that's where, you know, God says, if my people call by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then he will hear from heaven and heal their land. And so, you know, we have a time of praying and really repenting from our sins and look at some of the damage that took place. Sometimes it's called idleness on our part. You know, we had things that we could do to prevent things taking place in our country, and we choose not to. And you can't undo certain things in life. But in prayer this week with the Lord, and as many of us went to Him and we have prayed, God forgive us, we got laxed. We have laws that's been passed, but people in power that, you know, there was opposition to you. And the one issue we have so much going on now is always at the highlight, and that's the issue with abortion, you know. And I know in our Constitution it says we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. For life is number one, and it's in there. Why? Because of God. And if you look in the Scripture, in the Scripture in Jeremiah 32, in verse 35, and it talks about God's people who have been following Him, God bless them, but they turn away from God, brought other things from the world into their life, and now you find them, in verse 35 it says, they built the high places of Baal that were in the valley of Ben-Hinnom to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire to Molech. What they're saying, they took their sons and daughters and sacrificed them in the fire, killed them, for a false god. Think of that. How wicked can that be? But folks, we have authorized that here in our country. And the God now is a God of pleasure. We abhor him. Or the God of money, the God of vainness, the God of pride, the God of fear. So nothing has changed. But the part I want to point out to you, the next verse, it says in verse 36, Now therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the city of which you said, it is given into the hand of the king of Babylon by sword, by famine, and by pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all the lands to which I have driven them in my anger, and my wrath, and great indignation, and I will bring them back to this place and make them dwell in safety. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Look at that. God is always looking for a way to restore us. So tonight I would ask, and I believe it's leading the Lord, that as we repented for the sins of our nations, that this coming week, if you would, go beyond that and call or write your state representative, your congressman, your senator, and just a letter and say, hey, listen, I ask that you would do whatever you can when the time arises to overturn the law that we pass in our nation that authorized the murdering of our children. Actually, that's our voice going out. Say, because our representatives represent us, and if they don't hear from us, and they hear the opposition greater, well, they're going to listen to opposition. You might say, well, I won't change nothing. Well, it will. It will change you. And with God. Same as I went back and apologized to that person I spoke to, if they would have cussed me out, okay. But I wouldn't change that. But it changed me and God. And folks, when you write to them, or if you call them, man, be polite. Some of the people in power today had nothing to do with any of those things. Understand. And haven't we all stood up for things we found out later we shouldn't have? Haven't we all sent people in power to different organizations and senators and stuff, not really understanding what they stand for? So we need to forgive. But just say, listen, I really, my conviction, and God says, man, if my people will turn from their wicked ways, I'm just asking you that, hey, listen, this is what I believe in, this is what God says. And when given the opportunity, however you can, this will return. And to me, that truly shows repentance. That truly shows the country falling back under God's lead. You know, if I apologize to my wife, I'm going to do something wrong, but then I keep doing it over and over again, that apology doesn't mean much, does it? But if I apologize and I won't do it again, and next time I start to do it, I catch myself, honey, I'm sorry, that means a lot. Don't do it again. And I believe in the eyes of God the same way, folks. That's what we are celebrating. That's supposed to be the number one thing in our hearts right now, that God so loved us that Christ came and died on the cross for us, even though we didn't quite understand what he's doing, even though the disciples had no idea, and maybe today you don't quite understand either. That's where the word comes in at. Yeah, I remember myself, before I come to know Christ, I showed up every Christmas and every Easter, or Resurrection Sunday, as you want to call it. I got my 2 days in a year. I quite didn't understand. But now I do. So I call upon you to look into the Word more. Let God speak to you. And tonight, if you don't understand this thing going on, and if you don't understand sin, you don't understand God's love, if you think God's up there only waiting to step on you, He's not. Understand that He's not. He loves you and He cares for you. He offers salvation to all of us who call upon the name of the Lord, to every one of us who acknowledge the need for Christ in our life. To acknowledge that we've had sin and all fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is separation from God now and for eternity. And God doesn't want that. It's the last place He wants to see any of us to be is in hell. But we all have a choice to make. To receive His love, to receive His forgiveness, to receive His strength and His word. He tells us in Matthew 6 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek Him. Then what we need, He'll give to us. He's a good Father. He'll make sure we have what we need. Amen. Amen. Let me check my notes here one more time. Just make sure I got everything in there. Yes, I do. I want to leave you with a scripture tonight in Deuteronomy. Chapter 31, verse 7 to 9. It says, "Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, 'Be strong and be courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them. And you shall give it to them as an inheritance. And the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fall or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed.'" And I'm telling you, as we follow the Word of God, as we are led by the Holy Spirit, there is nothing to fear. God is with us. No matter how dark it looks, He is a light with us. And He'll bring you through whatever difficulty comes our way. Don't get scared. Just call upon Him. Just listen to Him. Listen to Him. And He will guide you. Amen. If you don't know the Master, you got questions about salvation, being born again, you can contact us here at Shepherd's Christian Assembly, 740-623-3888. And also we have I think you call it a website. It's scacoshocton.com. And on there is our messages in the past. And just started today to upload some of the videos. Because a lot of times I'm an illustrated preacher, so you can see it makes more sense sometimes to watch me than to hear me or put both of them together. But again, and there's a way to contact us through that also. But be encouraged and keep the faith. Well, may the good Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may He turn His face toward you and grant you peace. And may every blessing that God gave Abraham rest upon you, your household, and all the generations that come after you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're hoping that we'll be back here tomorrow evening, if all goes well, at 6 o'clock, and we'll continue to help put a smile on your face. Mr. and Mrs. TP will be hanging around again. And then Thursday evening, if we have the ability to do it, we're going to have about a half-hour celebration of Passover, because there are three feasts to celebrate forever. It's Passover, and the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And so that's coming up. So we're hoping to be here Thursday evening also at 6 o'clock to help you celebrate. So God bless you, and have a good evening. Good night.